Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Department of Perfectly Reasonable Gender Discrimination here at Car Talk Plaza. But well, you'll be the judge of that, I'm sure.
This is a scathing indictment. This is from Dane Hawk.
Okay.
Gentlemen, I have been a fan of your show for years and rarely miss it when it comes on every Saturday morning. One thing that I noticed when I started listening that has continued to the present day is how you two address a caller when he or she first calls in. When the caller is a female, your ears perk up, the flirtation device in your loins goes into high gear, and God forbid that the female caller be a young chick in college or recently graduated, you all try to find out exactly where she is from, where she lives, family background, etc. Now, if the poor sap that calls in as a male, boy, the pleasantries go a lot quicker. Here's an example. Female calls. This is Click and Clack. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Female in a sexy voice. Hi, this is Jane Crane from Des Plaines. Click and Clack. Well, hi there. Is that Jane with a J? Female caller. Well, yes, it is. Click and Clack. Ha! I knew that. All Janes west of the Mississippi spell Jane with a J. So, Jane, are you a student? Female caller. No, but I graduated last year. Click and Clack. Any boyfriends in the picture? Ha, 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 ha. And so it goes. Male caller. Click and Clack. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Male caller. Hi, this is Joe Schmo from Podunk. Click and Clack. Yeah, what do you want? So it goes. Frankly, guys, I've seen your pictures on the website, and I see why you all are on the radio. I say these things only to help you. I don't want you to become disillusioned with thoughts of maybe having a chance with some of these callers who are of the female persuasion. Face it. You're old, you're gray, and you're ugly, and you don't stand a chance.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
Keep up the good work, but snap out of it.
So we don't know if Dane is a woman or a man.
No, we don't. Dane?
It's awfully close to Dame.
I didn't notice that we... I'm surprised.
I don't know either.
I thought we treated everyone quite... equitably.
I thought so, too. Well, anyway, if you're a friendly, good-looking woman and you have a problem with your car, if you just want to shoot the breeze, please call us. If you're a guy, check out our online database of answers.
Yeah, FAQs.
The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michelle from Nashville, Tennessee.
Michelle! Hi!
I think I fit your criteria, friendly and good-looking.
I'm sure you do. Are you a student?
No, used to be.
You have a boyfriend?
All right, what do you want?
Well, I have a problem with my 1995 Ford Escort wagon.
A great car.
It has been a great car, actually. I haul my three little kids around in it. But I got new Freon put in it at the beginning of the summer because it was running really warm.
Right.
Nice cold air came blowing out. Well, now, when I'm tooling around here in sultry Nashville, when I stop at a light or even just get stopped in traffic, all the cold air goes away, and it just starts blowing hot air on me.
Oh, really?
Really.
But if you were to sit there and put it in neutral, you may try this.
And rev up the engine a little bit.
Have you tried that?
I have not tried that. But once I start going again,
right,
and the cool air comes back.
Well, did it do this right away after you put the new Freon in, or is it happening gradually?
I'd say gradually.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think that's better.
Oh, good.
Well,
I think gradually is better, don't you?
Well, I think it's going to cost you $500 one way or the other.
I think you got a little leak.
Oh.
And I think you need a compressor.
And he thinks you need a compressor.
That see? Is not what I called to hear.
Well, that's why he said it's going to cost you $500 either way.
Yeah. Well, what's the reason you have diminished cooling when the engine is idling is that the compressor is turned by the engine. So as you might expect, when the engine is running at high speed, the compressor is turning faster.
Yep.
And if there's a problem with either the compressor or insufficient refrigerant, then it'll work best at high speed.
Yeah, and when you come to a stop and the engine comes down to idle, the compressor turns slower, and if the compressor doesn't have enough oomph or if there's not enough refrigerant in the system, you get no coldness.
Yeah, and now it's because it's still the middle of the summer.
It is the middle of the summer here.
Yeah, what's going to happen is you're going to get stuck to the seat. You won't be able to get out of the car. So you have to get it fixed and be prepared for the worst.
Yeah.
I think what happened was if you did have a slow leak, and I'm going to guess it's in the compressor, when they put the refrigerant in, it took a while for it to leak out. And if you ignore this, eventually you'll have no coolant.
You'll have no coolant at all.
I'll be back to where I was.
Yeah, you'll be back to square one.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good luck, Michelle. Thanks, Michelle, for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Brad from State College, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, hi, Brad, what do you want?
That's great. What do you want?
I'm a male. I have an 89 Toyota Camry with 336,000 miles on it.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Yes.
And what? How did you put all these miles on it?
Well, we traveled a lot. We saw a band called Fish 40 times throughout the United States.
Who's we?
We, my wife and I.
So you're a fish freak.
Right.
Yeah. Oh.
We're currently writing dissertations, both of us.
Ah, now you're talking.
Yes.
Art history?
Education.
Education.
Both of you?
Yes.
Well, that's where you met, probably.
Well, we met as undergraduates many years ago, and then we taught for a few years, and now we're here.
Jeez.
Excellent. That's wonderful. Well, anyway, what's the question about your 89 Camry, if there is one?
Well, we have there's a clutch fluid reservoir that needs frequent refilling.
That's
and the owner's manual says if this needs frequent refilling, it may indicate a serious mechanical problem. And we would like this car to last for another year. So can I keep refilling?
You've probably been saying that for the last 5 years.
Yes. Well, as a matter of fact, we have.
We have customers at the shop with cars that not quite as old.
Long
in the tooth as yours. But they always come in and say, you know, I just need 6 more months out of it. They've been saying that since like 1992.
Right. My doctor told me I won't need a car after 6 months.
Well, it hardly represents a serious mechanical problem. You have a minor mechanical problem.
Yeah, this is cheap to fix.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. If you look up under the dashboard, you will find the where the clutch pedal attaches to a rod.
Yes.
And that rod goes through the firewall, and it goes into the clutch master cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
And that little reservoir is right on top.
Yes.
And there's a rubber boot, a black rubber boot around that clutch master cylinder, through which the rod goes.
Mm-hmm.
If you pull that boot off, fluid's going to pour out of there.
Pour out.
Yeah, well, it's already been pouring out, and it's gotten behind your carpet.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
If you were to lift up the carpet, see, every week you've been adding fluid to it, and you keep saying, but where the hell does it go?
Yeah.
You're going to find out.
You're going to find out. In fact, you might be able to go into business. You might have so much of it stored under that carpet.
But it may also be leaking at the other end.
It could be leaking at the slave cylinder, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're both leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend with this many miles in the car that you replace both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you could do yourself if you wanted to.
Okay.
If you are of a mind and you had an entire Saturday with nothing to do.
Well, I don't.
He's working on his dissertation.
Yes, of course not.
All right, then you'll do it during the week. See you, Brad.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melissa from Minneapolis.
Hi,
Melissa.
When I heard that, you know, I got a little shudder when I heard the name Melissa because I thought it might be Melissa Peterson.
Oh.
Who is our nemesis and our earliest detractor.
Oh, man.
But you are not she, I take it.
Absolutely not.
Melissa was a girl. She, at the time, she was like 10 or 12 years old.
I think 11.
That's 10 or 12. And she wrote us a letter telling us that we were the worst people in the world, and she couldn't believe we had a radio show, and she just went on and on and on. And then later she called us, or we called
her? No, the postscript in the letter was, And my dog hates you, too. And that was that really crushed us because Tommy and I are dog lovers.
Yeah.
You know, so we were really hurt by that. And she wouldn't go away. And we thought that we could somehow, you know, mend some fences and make her like us.
Yeah.
So we invited her. We flew her out here. She was from Seattle. We flew her out. We didn't whine her because she did the whining. She was only 12 years old, but she came out with her mother. And she was about as unpleasant in person. And she maintained her position.
She did.
She had a long face the whole time she was here.
And she continued to tell us that we were terrible.
And you know what? She was right. Anyway, you are not that, Melissa, but what can we do for you?
Well, you know, I'm doing pretty well today. It's starting to warm up here, but I'm having this problem, this car problem. It's actually a dispute within my family.
Ah.
We love disputes. In fact, we create most disputes.
Well, for years, my son has bugged me about having excess keys on my keychain so that they dangle off the ignition.
Mm-hmm.
And I've pretty much ignored him because I like the convenience of having all my keys together.
Yeah.
But then a couple years ago, I met my husband, and I started driving his car on occasion, and he's been bugging me about having too many keys on the keychain. And he threatened that if I didn't stop doing that, he would let his mother move in with us. So,
oh.
I mean, I really like her a lot, but...
No, you don't.
No, nay.
You have no idea.
Do anything. In fact, throw all the keys away.
Including the ones to the house.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
What a threat.
So this little transgression is enough to tip the balance so that your mother-in-law would move in with you.
Well, he seems to believe strongly, you know, that the keys are really going to hurt his car. And I don't think so because I've always done this with my cars. I mean, not tons and tons of keys.
How many keys are we talking about?
Well, yeah, 5 or 6 keys, maybe the remote and maybe a little bauble or something.
Yeah, maybe a bauble. What do you got? Like a Minnesota Vikings helmet stuck on the thing?
No, nothing like that. So like a little flashlight.
A little flashlight. Anything else? A sneaker?
Usually not.
Melissa, you're not being completely true. I tell you, start adding things. The flashlight, the bauble, bottle opener. What else you got on there?
Well, usually not much, really. I mean, it's a tiny little plastic flashlight and then the remote and a couple of keys.
And what do you think all of this weighs, if you had to take a guess?
Not much.
I mean, all of his is fear, and he and your son are right. If you have, and again, I don't know how much everything weighs, but if that stuff weighed, a pound or so.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know. I used to carry around a bunch of keys, which together, I think, added up to a pound or more. And I realized one day that I couldn't identify 2/3 of the keys. I had no idea. And not only could I not identify them, I couldn't remember the last time I had ever used most of these keys. And I whittled it down. I pared it down to 3 keys.
No kidding.
In fact, it recently got upgraded to 4. You gave me a key to your apartment so I could water your plants.
Yeah.
I'm giving it back. So I'll be down to 3 keys. So you may decide that you don't need as many keys. The flashlight's a nice thing to have, but don't you always carry a purse?
Well, always, yeah.
So why couldn't the flashlight be in there?
It probably could.
Yeah, and the bauble, you could ditch the bauble. And what they're worried about, by the way, is that the weight of those keys is pulling down on the ignition lock, the thing that the key goes into.
And there have been some times when people have reported that broke.
Yeah, it will over time it will damage the lock and key or the ignition switch because of the weight.
So what is the magic weight? Because I'm going to go get a scale.
10 keys might be too much, and a lot of people have many more than that. You know, and I feel if you have more than that number, you should get one of those quick disconnect things that allows you to,
Then you're going to lose half the keys.
Well, this is a deeper philosophical question.
Yeah.
If you have more than 7 keys, your life's too complicated. And you should pare down. So I think, Melissa, I do side with them, but I'm not worried that you're going to damage either person's car. And you're certainly not going to damage your husband's car, especially if you drive it infrequently.
What kind of cars do you have there?
Well, my car is a 94 Ford Mustang, which I don't drive very much during the winter.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And you drive his car in the
winter. I drive his 2000 Honda Accord more during the winter.
Okay.
Well, I would have to say that neither of those cars, in my opinion, would have the problem. if it was a reasonable number of keys.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think you're all right. But I wouldn't take a chance because if in his estimation...
And what if something finally did happen? You'd be in such deep water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Margaret is going to be moving in. Is that her name, your mother-in-law?
It's probably not worth taking the chance.
It's not worth taking.
Certainly isn't.
No, when you drive his car, I would stick one key in and have the other keys anywhere else but on that keychain and say,
I've got it.
Yes.
What good advice.
What if you had the keys on a ring which was elastic so that when you held onto one key, all the other keys stretched the elastic and they ended up on the floor?
Perfect. So you can get them tangled up in your feet.
If I could invent that device.
Oh, you can do it with spider webs. And it's thinking like this that kept him out of most institutions of higher learning, folks. Anyway, Melissa, good luck. And tell him that you don't want your mother-in-law to move in just yet. And you'll do whatever he wants.
All right. Whatever you guys say.
I think the limit is 6 or 7 keys.
Yeah, something like that. I would say, you know.
But some people really have a handful of keys, and that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a custodian or a jailer or something like that, then, you know, if you have 10 or 15 keys on your chain or more, I think you're asking for trouble. But I think under 8 or 10.
I like the elastic idea.
You do, huh? Okie dokie. Hey, look, we have to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to answer last week's puzzler.
That's very exciting.
You know, sarcasm really does not become you.
I know.
Then again, not much does. Anyway, last week's puzzle was from my Underground Railroad series, and we'll be back with the whole story and, of course, the answer in just a minute.
So please stay tuned. A cab as big as the Taj Mahal. The trunk fit amps, guitars, and all. Rick, Mac, J.B., and Paul. The horn played purple haze. The band arrives in style. Rolls out in single file. Mile after Ginzo Mile, those were some of my favorite days. Mopar,
she ran off beer and pee.
Mopar,
or pyramid petulantly. Our sneakers on us. Mopar, she was fast in bulbous.
And even though Terry Gross daydreams about raising goats in Vermont whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler, and this was the final puzzler of the season.
Go, man, I'm ready.
Good. This was sent in by a fellow named Joe Scott from Holland, Pennsylvania, and I said it was from my Underground Railroad series, and I meant that quite literally. So here's the story. Like lots of other cities, Chicago has a subway system, which consists of a maze of tunnels linking various parts of the city. But beneath the streets of downtown Chicago, there's another system of tunnels. And this tunnel system was excavated between like 1899 and 1910 by the Illinois Telephone and Telegraph Company. And the purpose of these tunnels was to provide space for telephone lines. Duh. There was also an electric freight-carrying railroad with a narrow-gauge, 2-foot-wide track down there, too. And the small four-wheel drive electric locomotive that ran on this track hauled diminutive little freight cars between stores, office buildings, factories, etc., and it delivered packages, mail, food, coal, and sometimes even people.
Small people.
You would think so, right? Well, during the early years after its completion, which would have been like 1911, 12, 13, whatever, the telephone company, which owned the tunnels, began selling something to movie theaters, which were also brand new at the time. So these tunnels are new, the movie theaters are new, the guys who own the tunnels are selling something to movie theaters, so the question is very simply, what were these theaters buying from the aforementioned Illinois Telephone and Telegraph Company?
I know. Popcorn.
No. They were not selling popcorn.
No.
No. Now, if you've ever been in a tunnel or a cave What's the first thing you notice?
It's dark.
There you go. They were selling darkness to movie theaters. No, they weren't selling darkness. What they were selling was cool air. If you've ever been in a tunnel or a cave,
the
air temperature is like 50-odd degrees, maybe 55 degrees or something.
Yeah.
And this was before air conditioning.
Yeah.
But these guys figured out we can pump cool air into the movie theaters and refrigerate these people. And the customers were frozen right in their seats. Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yeah, the winner is Steve Weiss from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Atta boy, Steve!
Atta boy! And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Steve's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a CarTalk stainless steel water bottle.
You know, I use mine when I go to the gym.
You do?
Yeah, I put a bunch of ice in it, fill it up with water, and then if I see some guy talking on his cell phone on the treadmill, I drop it down the back of his shorts. It's a lot of laughs.
You are a cruel man.
Well, usually the cell phone goes flying and the guy inexplicably starts running faster.
Cruel but funny.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car, we're here for you.
If you have a question about gym etiquette, don't call my brother.
We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Pete calling from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
Pete.
Ah, King of Prussia.
What's going on, man?
Well, I'm calling to find out, I guess, if I did any damage to my girlfriend's car last weekend.
Oh, probably did, and worse than that, but go ahead.
Okay, well, it's not any kind of, there's nothing wrong with it now. It's not a recurring problem, but it's just something that happened. We were driving, I guess I would call it a rural highway, just a two-lane highway out in Lancaster County, which is a very rural area around here.
Yeah.
And I realized that I had put it into D3 when we got on the road.
By the way, before we go on,
yeah,
is it typical of you to drive her car when both of you are in the car? Does she defer to you?
Not all the time, no. Just, we change it off sometimes.
And she doesn't have a problem with your driving her car?
No.
Till now.
What kind of a car is it, by the way?
It's a 2005 Honda Civic Coupe LX.
So, okay, there you are. You're driving along D3.
Mm-hmm, and I normally drive a stick shift, so I guess I'm not, you know.
You're not tuned into putting it in gear and just going.
But so basically, I realized I was in D3. We were going maybe 40 miles an hour or so.
And you said this was your girlfriend? Have you made any plans to go farther with this relationship, or is this just about it, you think?
I think it's going to go farther.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It might depend on what you guys tell me here.
You realize you're in D3. What did you then do?
I just, while we were moving, I took my foot off the acceleration, and I pushed it without pushing the button, and I just pushed it up into D.
Good.
Yeah.
And it was like somebody slammed on the brakes. It was just total skid out from 40 to 0, you know, in a matter of seconds.
Well, how delicately did you move that shifter? Because it sounds like you didn't go into D, you got into P.
No, R.
Or R.
You didn't get into P. P's hard to get into.
It sure as heck is.
Yeah, and of course you were trying to do this while she was napping.
Right.
Yeah.
So what did you do?
So basically, we ended up stopped in the middle of the road. Luckily, the cars behind us had given us a wide berth.
They back off when they see stuff like this happen. It's like, whoa, hold the phone, baby.
Yeah. Well, so basically, I just, I can't recall whether it turned the car off or not, or I think I might have just done that and then turned it back on and pulled over to the side of the road and, you know, sat there and decompressed for a minute.
And then what?
And, you know, maybe after probably just 1 or 2 minutes, turned it back on and got back on the road, and it seemed to perform fine.
Were you wearing brown pants that day? Oh, God.
Well, I would say forget about it.
Okay. You can't forget about it. She was in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she might not forget about it, but he could forget about it.
Yeah, I would forget about it.
Maybe she bumped it, you know? I didn't see it. Maybe she did something extra.
Is she worried that you may have ruined her car somehow?
No, she kept telling me it was all right, but I just I felt really bad about it. And we might be we're kind of trying to plan a late vacation, and we're thinking about taking this car on the road for a while. And I just wanted to make sure that everything would be okay. I didn't hear any stripped gears or anything like that. I didn't really hear anything except for the tires skidding out.
Well, she's right.
Okay.
Forget about it.
Okay.
Well, first of all, it's a testimony to her.
Good for her is right.
That she is willing to accommodate a moron like you.
Yes. honest.
No, yeah, no, I mean, you're not a moron. It was a reasonable mistake.
No, it was a reasonable
make.
Thing. However, we should caution everybody. Shifting the car, an automatic car, when you're in motion, is a lot trickier than you could ever imagine. And yeah. It's very easy to go from D3 or D2 right into reverse or even into park. I mean, you don't realize you hit a bump in the road. You know, those gates, those little stops, you go park, reverse, neutral. There's a little click with every one. Boom, boom, boom. It's very easy when you, at the very instant you grab that shifter, you hit a couple of bumps and next thing you know.
And you've gone three places and you thought you were only going one.
Right, and that's exactly what you did. But she must be a wonderful woman.
She is.
If she didn't yell and scream and read you the riot act and say, Pete, you're never driving my car again, you idiot. So there was none of that.
No.
Well, that's a wonderful woman. Go for it.
Well, let's see what happens next month when the transmission falls out.
See if she's still a wonderful woman.
and I think, I mean, just to be clear about this, if anything does happen to this transmission, you did it.
Oh, yeah. Well, he knew that. But I don't think anything happened.
Okay, well, you put my mind at ease.
Everything's going to be fine, whatever it is.
Great.
Just make sure you save up the money to rebuild the transmission for $21.
I was hoping this wouldn't be one more reason that you know you need to get a new car.
No, it's
might
not.
Might be.
No.
A pleasure, Pete. Take care, man.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2-
I think the message is don't ever drive anybody else's car. You know,
there is a risk in driving someone else's car.
Yeah, because it's unusual for you to see certain things. Especially if you got a stick shift and she doesn't.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, not to mention that, but whenever I've lent my car to anybody, it has always come back different.
Yeah.
And sometimes I can't quantify it. I mean, most of the time I can. If I lend it to one of my kids, I can quantify it. There's no gas in the tank. You know, or oil or any of the other vital liquids.
Yeah, we know those stories.
If I lend it to you, I get it back and somebody's sleeping in the back seat. Yeah, but most of the time, there are things that I just can't put my finger on.
Yeah.
But the car accelerates differently.
It's not quite the same.
And it takes a while for the car. It must be the car.
The car doesn't
reacting.
Like it.
It's like when you leave your dog alone.
Exactly.
You go away for vacation. You come home. The dog is all over you like a cheap suit. Wah, 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 wah. And then
you wonder.
The dog. No, then the dog realizes, this jerk left me alone for a week and a half with a dog walker. They came in for 10 minutes. Okay, do your numbers. Get out.
Yeah.
And the car realizes that, too.
The dog turns around and bites you in the ankle. It's always the ankle.
888. Well, so my car does that, too. Every time I lend it to somebody, it takes a while before my car reaccepts me.
Yeah.
And it's trying to tell me, don't ever do that again. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Sherry in Cheyenne.
Sherry in Cheyenne. Sherry with a C-H?
With an S-H, just like they spell it on the bottom.
And Cheyenne with a C-H.
Right.
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Well, I'm an original Bostonian, so.
You are? From where? What part of Bostonia?
Wakefield.
Wakefield?
Yeah.
So how did you wind up in Cheyenne, Wyoming?
The military.
Ah.
You were drafted?
No, my husband's in the military, so.
The hell are you doing? What's going on in Cheyenne?
They have F.E. Warren is out here. It's a big missile base.
Oh, that's the secret missile base.
Secret.
Yeah.
The one you weren't supposed to mention, Sherry.
I know.
You'll have to move now. Anyway, what's happening?
Well, I have a problem of persuasion. My husband and I, we just bought a Lincoln Town Car, and we love it.
Is your husband a colonel?
No.
Town Car is a colonel's car.
No, if you're a colonel, they pick you up. You ain't driving your own car, yeah. Yeah, but anyway.
Well, we got it home, and we're bike riders, and we got it home, and we were going to put our roof rack on it, you know, to put our bikes on it.
Right.
And this year car, the clips don't fit on it, so we can't put our bikes on it.
You have the roof rack that goes on the roof.
Right.
Not a bike rack that goes on the back.
No, because we have too many bikes. You know, to put them on the back, and then you can't get into the trunk until, you know, unless you take all the bikes off of it, and instead of kind of a hassle.
Yeah, so you know.
I'm not surprised at this. You might be the only people on the entire planet who drive a town car and ride bicycles. Most people who drive town cars
are wearing plaid pants, white shoes, and white belts, and they're in Florida. When's your husband retiring?
Well, actually, he could retire now, but, you know, with everything going on, he can't get out. So he's got a couple more years left.
But he could retire now. He's 35.
Well, actually, we're in our 30s, and we're the youngest people driving a town car. I've got all kinds of 70-year-old guys checking me out, and then they about to have a heart attack. When they see how young I am.
Yeah, they say, what was that young babe driving that town car?
Wait a minute. Your husband's in his 30s, and he could retire now?
Yeah.
Sure, because he's been there since he's been 17.
Well, since he was 19.
Really? 19, yeah. No, that's...
Gee, that's good.
Yeah.
No, that is good. Wow. Well, he's defending our nation.
So what do you want us to do about this, Sherry? We're not going to make the town car work on your bicycle. What do you want from us?
Well, this is where the problem comes in.
You're so supposed to be driving a Saab.
Well, my husband now thinks that since we can't get our bikes around, he said, well, we should go out and get a van. And I'm like, a van? Oh, my gosh. Is that like scream suburban soccer mom? I don't want to... That's like driving a... I don't know, station wagon with the wood paneling on the side.
How many bikes do you put on this thing? Like four bikes?
Well, we have a couple of kids, so we've got four bikes, and then we take our tandem with us.
Oh.
So I was looking in the paper, and they have, for sale, it's a Lincoln Town Car stretch limo. It's got mood lighting. There's a bar in the back.
Oh, yeah. You kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better than my idea.
Sherry, you're a genius.
Well, that's what I thought, but my husband said, no, the front of our house, it'll make it look like an escort service with this big old limo park out there.
No, your husband's wrong.
No, he is wrong.
You're absolutely right. You've got to stand up for this.
Does it have the privacy glass?
It sure does.
Oh, you locked those little twerps in the back.
I came so close to buying one of these once.
Because except that the kids were going to lock him in the back.
My kids were driving me nuts. And I figured the only way to get some peace and quiet is to buy a used limo, throw them in the back, press the button, and up goes the glass, and boom. They can kill each other back there. What the heck would I care?
Well, that's what I thought. And the bikes are on the top. The tandem would fit perfectly.
Oh, man. Sherry?
Yeah. Can you do this is a used one, obviously, right? The stretch thing?
Yeah, and it's only got 127,000 miles on it.
Only.
Plus another 127,000 idling.
Well, that's right, but it's a Lincoln, so it should last another, I don't know.
Week.
Yeah.
Right, and even if it breaks down, we can just pedal away and just leave
it there. Of course, it doesn't matter.
Right. So how do I convince them that this is the way to go?
Oh, that's why you said this question was of persuasion.
Yes, because he said, no way, it'll look like we're running an escort service.
Well...
And that would be wrong?
Well,
what's his problem with that?
Well, you know, a man defending his nation and everything, you know.
He's got a reputation to uphold.
That's right.
Well, can't you pocket some? You got all those missile silos.
That's a good idea.
Maybe the government will make you pocket somewhere on the base.
That's
and then you don't have to let anybody know.
Oh, maybe the motor pool can camouflage paint it for you. So that people won't even see it. How much is this thing?
It's $3,000.
Oh, just buy it.
Sherry.
Well, because I figured, you know, it could probably even talk him down a couple $100.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to do it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
go
it's
for
so
it.
Cheap that for $3,000, you could build a little Quonset hut for it and drive it right in.
That sounds like a great idea.
Right. If you leave the bikes on top, they won't think you're a pimp.
That's
you know, true. Is your husband, is there any chance that he's going to be, like, shipped out for any period of time? Or is he stuck there on the base?
Yeah, I think he's stuck here.
Because if they ship him out even for a couple of months, you can do anything you want.
All you need is 3 days.
That's what I was thinking, too, just a week.
Yeah, I think you need to talk to his commanding officer. He needs a little assignment.
Yeah.
See you, Sherry. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
The limo is a very unappreciated vehicle.
Well,
people think it's gross and horrible, but the truth of the matter is, the limo is a wonderful device.
Unless you have to park it.
Unless you have to park it.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a break.
Yeah, and when we come back, we will not have a new puzzler, but we will have something almost as good.
Oh, really? What's that?
I'll be touching on the topic of men and barbecuing. This is important.
You'll be touchy? On the topic or touching on the topic?
Touching on the topic.
Because you're touchy about a lot of stuff,
man. No, I'll be touching on the topic of men grilling. And we'll take more of your calls in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Young Johnny still has an Oldsmobile. He loves a dear little girl. She is the queen of his gas. Christmas machine. She has his heart in her world. Now when they go for a spin, you know, she tries to learn the auto soul. He lets her steer while he gets her ear and whispers soft and low.
Come away with me, Lucille, in my merry Oldsmobile. Down the road of life we'll fly, automobiling, just you and I.
And even though King Kong waddles back and rips another antenna off NPR headquarters every time he hears us say it, this is NPR. We're back.
Don't wake me up like that.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and not the new Puzzler. But Tommy has something important to read.
I have something important. This is from David Leventhal.
Okay.
This is the truth about barbecuing. It's the only type of cooking real men will do. When a man volunteers to do the barbecue, the following chain of events are put into motion.
I'm ready because
events is put into motion, it should say. That's all right. I hate to correct grammatical things, but I have to. One, the woman goes to the store. The woman fixes the salad, the vegetables, and the dessert.
Mm.
The woman prepares the meat for cooking, places it on a tray, along with the necessary cooking utensils, and takes it to the man who was lounging beside the grill. The man places the meat on the grill and continues drinking his beer. The woman goes inside to set the table and check the veggies. The woman goes outside to tell the man the meat is burning. The man takes the meat off the grill and hands it to the woman. The woman prepares the plates and brings them to the table. After eating, the woman clears the table and does the dishes. Everyone praises the man and thanks him for his cooking efforts. I did this just the other day. I did it in exactly this order. The man asked the woman how she enjoyed, quote, her night off. And upon seeing her annoyed reaction, concludes, "There's just no pleasing some women." So that's the truth about barbecuing.
Well,
any man who's not guilty, stand up. And then sit down again because you're lying.
Well, it is 100% true.
It's 100% true.
And all I can say is, what a country.
In fact, my brother and I barbecued the stuff together. It took two of us. One piece of fish.
One piece of fish, yeah. And we managed to burn it.
Yeah, well, you can't have everything.
Yeah, it was pretty good, though, and nobody complained.
No one complained.
Yeah.
But our wives
did all the
work. Everything else.
Yeah, it's
true. Including cleaning up.
Yeah, and making dessert.
And making dessert.
It was pretty good. I'll be over again tomorrow. Hey, by the way, we don't have a new Puzzler for you this week, but whenever we get lazy and don't do a new Puzzler, our staff lackeys spend days searching through our entire Puzzler archive.
You mean like they reach into a barrel and they pull one out?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what they do. But once they pick one, they post it on our website, cartalk.com, and that's where you'll find this week's archival Puzzler.
If you want a Puzzler this week, maybe people are thrilled to be without a Puzzler this week.
I know I am.
888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Heather from Arcata, California.
Heather?
Uh-huh. H-E-A-T-H-E-R.
Arcata.
Uh-huh.
Where is Arcata?
Arcata's in Humboldt County, which is about 5 hours north of San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I have an 84 Volvo diesel wagon that I love.
God. Really?
And I guess it was a few months ago I took it to the mechanic because my glove compartment was stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And the mechanic that I took it to was named, well, I won't tell you his name, but he owns a very high-end German motors place in town. And I was told it was the only place to bring a diesel Volvo back.
Georg?
Georg?
Close.
Sandor?
I like Hans. Hans.
Oh, that's very close.
Hans.
Helmut.
That's it.
Helmut.
How did
good.
You know?
Of course.
Helmut.
That's I only know four German names, and you just exhausted them all.
Helmut. Yeah.
Well, I hope he's not listening.
Okay.
Anyway, so Helmut fixed a lot of things in my car. I took it in. I said, Helmut, my glove compartment's stuck. And 3 weeks later and $3,000 later, I got my car back.
For the glove compartment?
Well, he did a lot more. And one of the things he did was a fuel injection system. Pretty much, he replaced the whole system, I think. And two or three weeks later, I was driving up to Oregon to go to a wedding in Seattle, and we stopped at Timberline Lodge, which is on Mount Hood.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend Rick and I are driving up the hill, and at exactly 4,500 feet, the car dies, just completely stalls. And I know it was 4,500 feet because I had a topographical map in front of me because we were planning on going to Mount Hood.
Yeah.
So we didn't understand what was going on. We had to call a tow truck and get it towed back to Portland, which was $150.
Ooh.
We get back to Portland, and as soon as the car gets off the tow truck, it just starts up. No problem. And for a living, I lead backpacking trips. So I drive up to high elevations pretty often in the summertime.
And you have done that with this car?
Many, many times previous to having it worked on. And a few weeks later, I left to lead a backpacking trip, and I was about a day behind the group, meaning the rest of the group was already on the trail. So I was rushing as fast as I could, and I was way up on this trail access road. And at exactly 4,500 feet, the car stops again and dies.
Ooh.
Rick, meanwhile, is at a Joan Baez concert and couldn't help. So the next day, we get in his truck, and we go back out to get the car. We roll it about 500 feet down the hill.
And it starts right up.
And it starts right up. So I took it back to the mechanic, and he still can't find anything wrong with it. And I am convinced it's an elevation problem. Everybody tells me I'm crazy, but I know in my heart.
Oh, no, they are wrong.
I'm not
laughing.
I'm not laughing.
No, in fact, we're crying with you.
We're not laughing, Heather.
So what is it?
Oh, we don't know what it is, but we do know it is related to elevation.
We know we agree with you. We just
do you?
Don't know why.
What would it be?
I mean, my first suspicion is, I think you alluded to the fact that Helmut rebuilt the fuel injector pump.
He did.
That is the pump which not only sucks the fuel out of the tank, but pumps it to the injectors at like 2,000 PSI.
Okay.
Either he did something wrong.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out what that is.
Or there's a break in the fuel line someplace that's allowing the thing to start sucking air.
But if it's something that Helmut did, okay, here's the moral part of the question. If it's something that Helmut did, then how do I justify, I mean, do I hold him responsible for the money that I spent?
Hold him responsible for everything.
So he's completely responsible.
Totally responsible.
For all of those expenses, including the day of work that Rick had to take off.
Including the day of work, of course.
Oh, you can single-handedly be responsible for bankrupting
this
guy.
And don't forget, three meals a day,
hotel lodging, right,
everything.
All that stuff.
Well, he's a very nice man. I'm certain that he'll comply.
So and the question I have to ask, why did he rebuild the fuel injector pump in the first place?
I don't know.
When you went in to have the glove box opened.
Well, apparently.
What was wrong with the car?
Please open my glove box. The guy charges you $3,000 by putting in a whole new fuel system.
Well, actually, though, what happened was I pulled in with a broken glove compartment to another mechanic, and the other mechanic thought that he smelled diesel, and he starts screaming and running for the phone and says, it's leaking diesel, and the only one that can take this is Helmut. Like, Helmut was some sort of demigod.
Oh.
So that's why I took it to Helmut.
Helmut is the diesel guy.
Well, I don't know how, on the spot like this, it's very hard to come up with an answer unless we know the question in advance. So it's something that we've seen. And we don't know the questions in advance, unfortunately.
Okay.
And it's something I haven't seen. However, my intuition tells me that the atmospheric pressure is absolutely related to it, number one. And number two, you have a leaky fuel line someplace.
Okay.
If that test is negative,
uh-huh,
then it's going to be he did a faulty job on the injector pump.
Okay. And then he's responsible for the hotel and dinner in Portland.
Dinner.
And private school for your kids whenever that should arise.
The whole thing, yeah.
No, you're not going to get him to be responsible for anything. At best, he's going to be responsible for fixing what he did wrong,
right,
but he's not responsible for all the other stuff.
But if you can simply get him to admit that he did anything wrong, that would be a tremendous victory on your part.
Right, of course.
And hope that Helmut will deign to look at you again. I mean, it may be that he doesn't see people more than
I've
once.
I probably ate my chances of that ever happening again, assuming that he or someone he knows is listening to this show.
Well, it was your fault for using his real name.
We were
I said helmet. You could have said
name.
No.
You guessed his real name. I never said his name.
We were going to stick with Hans.
Hans was good. Sandor was good.
Sandor.
Now, as far as Volvo diesels are concerned, are they good cars? I mean, can I count on it putting a lot of miles on it?
Oh, yeah, these are great.
Sure.
Especially at
yeah.
high altitudes.
Yeah, they use these in airplanes.
Good luck, Heather. You may be on Stump the Chumps. Call us back.
Great. Thank you so much.
And if Helmut needs any help, tell him to call us.
I will.
See ya.
Bye, Heather.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
How are you doing?
We're doing great. Who's this?
My name is Pradeep. I'm calling from North Carolina.
Okay, you're going to have to spell this one.
P-R-A.
P-R-A.
Deep, as in deep water.
Pradeep.
Pradeep.
Yep. I have a strange problem that you probably have never heard of before.
Great.
Well, we'll give you a strange answer that I'm sure you would never heard of before.
I drive a 1995 BMW M3, and about 4 weeks ago, I lost my phone in my car.
It disappeared?
Well, yeah, and it took me a while to figure out where it is, because every time somebody called, I could feel a vibration in the floorboard on the passenger side.
Oh, it's on vibrate.
And I can actually hear the phone ring as well. So I'd like to know how to get it out and without having to go to a mechanic and pay $80 an hour.
And where is it again, you think?
It's under the passenger seat, and there appears to be some ductwork. I guess it's for the heat in the air.
For the heat, right.
It appears to be deeply lodged in there. I mean, I was driving pretty aggressively, taking some corners and doing some heavy braking.
Oh, really?
Kind of got in there.
And have you tried to see it?
I can no longer see it. I mean, I used to be able to see, like, the very, very corner of it.
So if you could hang the car by its front bumper, the thing would fall out.
Well,
maybe. Maybe. But theoretically it would.
Right, if it's not stuck on something.
Right. So you could drive up a really steep hill and then start banging on the car.
Yep, I've done that too. I've went on a steep hill and punched the gas.
But there's no room under there for your hand?
No, it's the duct is about, a couple of inches wide by an inch tall.
Yeah,
and
the
it
duct
actually
is,
makes a turn.
It's about as high as the cell phone is thick.
Yeah. Well, this is a message to you to not bring the stupid cell phone into the car with you.
It's a car phone now.
It's a car phone
because only the car can talk to it.
So I went and took it to the mechanic. And he said that it may take longer than 2 hours to...
Well, he wants to take the seat out.
Right.
And then when he takes the seat out, he can get at the carpet. And when he takes the carpet out, he can get at this piece of duct.
Okay.
Which is bolted to the floor.
Okay.
But you want a shortcut.
Yeah.
I think all you need is a coat hanger.
Oh, to fish the phone out?
Yeah.
You might be able to.
I mean, you haven't tried that yet, huh?
I've tried that. I've actually tried it. They sell something called a claw. Which is
it's a grabber.
Yeah, I've tried that too.
Yeah.
Can't see, so I can't tell.
Jeez, let me just...
I can't believe...
And of course, you've tried to duplicate and reverse the maneuver that you'd use to get it lodged in there.
Within reason, yeah.
Within reason. Yeah, I figured you must have tried that.
Have you tried the panic stop?
The panic stop?
Yeah.
Oh, you got in reverse.
In reverse.
No, I haven't tried that.
You haven't?
I've felt I've already burned enough rubber trying to get it out.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, I mean, that's what I would do next. If you couldn't fish it out.
Oh, you know what you need to do? Stop is good.
But you need a bumpy road.
You might need a bumpy road.
A bumpy road, so the thing is bouncing around. You're going 60 miles an hour backwards.
Yeah, what you've got to do to the thing is kind of like the Heimlich maneuver. I mean, it's stuck in the windpipe there.
Yeah.
And so you've somehow got to get the thing needs an impulse. And the panic stop, while good, is not as good as hitting a tree when you're going backwards. you drive the sucker into a tree, and that thing will pop right out like
right
a potato lodged in your windpipe.
So I guess I'll do that, and I'll give you guys a call about how to fix my shocks and tires and my rear bumper.
But I don't think you're going to – I think you're going to have to go the long route and take the seat out, because I don't think there's any way
I do. I think you can get it out.
I mean, you've obviously replaced the phone.
Oh, yeah, because I don't have a landline.
Well, they probably deactivated it already.
Yeah, they already did. Yeah.
So it doesn't ring anymore.
Nope, not anymore.
And
forget, why are you even thinking about it?
Because I want to get it out.
He wants to get it out. It's gnawing away at him.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, well, then you don't want to do it by taking the seat out.
Are you an engineer?
Yeah.
Ah, that's all.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I just need to know what tools I need. I need to see some drawings.
What you need to do, in fact, is you need to go to the dealer and see if they have in stock that piece of ductwork that's under the passenger seat.
Okay.
And then you will find out exactly where your phone is stuck.
Okay.
And then you may be able to massage the carpet and get it out. But I'd be willing to bet that if you had the piece in your hand from the dealer,
uh-huh,
it would be clear.
It would be obvious to you how to do it.
Okay.
And you could find the precise spot where the thing is stuck. You could drill a hole in this duct, okay, and push the phone
out. The phone out.
With a coat hanger.
Yeah.
Is there a solution where I don't damage my car?
No.
No, of course not. Come on.
I hope not.
The car's done. This is the time to have fun with it.
This is the only car
I
have.
I'm telling you, drive.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to put your problem on the website.
Okay.
And see if we get some brilliant ideas. I'll bet you somewhere out there is someone who's crazier than us.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Or maybe even you. But
because you're not in a hurry. You just want the most elegant solution.
That's correct.
That's it.
And I think driving into a tree backwards would do it, but there may be something better.
Yeah, but see, I happen to like trees, too.
Good luck, buddy.
Thanks.
Let us know what happens.
Okay, I will.
I love it. Love it.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Yes, I have.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the scenic route, bean sprout, brook trout, pig snout, sauerkraut, and Guinness stout, anti-gout, pig out, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dog trainer is Don Chase Katz. Our staff gigolo is Spencer Cash. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horse She Rode In. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the schwitzing tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1229, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, Car Talk's Roadside Survival Guide, in which we list everything you should have in your trunk, just in case.
Yeah, spare 381-piece toolkit.
Check.
Inflatable 9-person life raft.
Check.
100 meters of dynamic climbing rope with locking carabiners.
Check.
Folding Sikorsky helicopter with rollaway landing pad?
Check.
Complete set of Best of Car Talk CDs?
Come on, be realistic. Nobody's going to carry something like that around in his car.
Find out what we really recommend for your car's trunk in Click and Clack's definitive guide to roadside survival, all this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Michael Phelps starts flailing and calls for a lifeguard whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.